Okay, so you can turn to Romans. And, you know, some of the things that were said in the manifestations were really, well, all of the things were great, but some of the things pertain to what we're going to look at today. And, you know, God has done everything he could possibly do for us. Our biggest problem many times is not recognizing or not believing the great, perfect, and complete redemptive work of Christ. So, you know, sometimes... sometimes we blame people for shortcomings or they don't meet our expectations. And in reality, maybe we expect too much or we expect the wrong things. But you know what we should expect? We should expect God to do what he says he's going to do. And sometimes when we blame others, it's because of our own shortcomings. And we don't recognize maybe it's us, not them. But Jesus Christ paid the full price, and God's the one that really is the one that meets our needs, takes care of us, blesses us, not people. You know, we have a great time together. We help each other. We bless each other. We should encourage each other. But it's God really is the one that makes the difference, not people. So if we lived our lives in light of the complete salvation that we have, we probably wouldn't struggle as much. Sometimes we live life like we still have a debt to pay when we're debt-free. You know, you ever think about, you ever have a debt and you pay it off and, you get into a habit of paying it every month. And then after it's paid, you almost expect like, you have to pay it again, and then you realize, oh, I already paid it. So Romans chapter 4, it says, who was delivered for our offenses? Chapter 4, verse 25. Who, speaking of Jesus Christ, or Jesus our Lord, who was raised from the dead, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Justification here is the same word as righteousness, and the reason they use justification and righteousness in different places is because in English they communicate slightly different meanings or understandings. If you make a mistake, in the Old Testament, if you made a mistake, the way to be justified was to atone for the sin. So you would go to the high priest, you would take an offering or a sacrifice, and the priest would make that offering or sacrifice on your behalf. And that would atone for the wrongdoing, and then you would be justified or made righteous for that particular situation and circumstance. Okay? But it says here that Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses, plural, implying it's all-inclusive, and was raised again for our justification. He paid the full price for all our wrongdoing and took care of everything. It's pretty cool when you think about it. And this is in the past tense. And you know what? It's always in the past tense. It's never in the present tense, and it's never in the future tense because it's already been taken care of. And if it's already been taken care of, it's been taken care of. So it doesn't have to be taken care of again, does it? Which is part of our problem. Sometimes we put it in the present or we put it in the future. God already put it in the past tense because he already took care of it. Jesus Christ already paid the price. It's a done deal. How about that? If you study history or read the Bible from beginning to end, since the fall of Adam and Eve, since their fall, since their mistake, since their sin, men have tried all kinds of ways to atone for their shortcomings, to make up for their mistakes and their inadequacies and their faults. And they've figured out all kinds, invented all kinds of religions and schemes and ways of doing it. And there's pretty much nothing that they haven't thought of, from, you know, sacrificing themselves to sacrificing their children to sacrificing just about anything they could sacrifice, to doing all kinds of works and figuring out all kinds of intricate tortures and self-mutilation and everything else to atone for and to make up for their shortcomings and weaknesses. And they never work. And they're always in the present and in the future. Whereas God's redemption and God's completed sacrifice for us through Jesus Christ is past and done and finished and complete. Let's go back to chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know, and the word there is now. When is now?
Now.
Now. And now in the Bible is always now. It's kind of cool. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. One time I asked somebody that I had some great respect for about, you know, getting an understanding of this, of being under the law. And he said it was like man living in a house. He said Israel was in the basement and they were under the law. And when you got born again, you were on the first floor. Yeah, that was a pretty cool analogy. So it says, what saith it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. This is referring to Jew and Gentile. All have become guilty before God. Not some, but all. Israel was guilty before God too, weren't they? Mm-hmm. They were his chosen people. He gave them opportunities. He gave them the law. He gave them the priests. He gave them the promise of the Messiah. But they were still guilty before him, and they had to make the sacrifices every day, every week, every month, every year. There were sacrifices for everything. And they did them a very specific way before God. So all the world meaning all the people, right? All the people are become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By the deeds of the law, by works, right? By works. Deeds of the law are works. People all the time want to do good works. Is there anything wrong with doing a good work?
No.
What's the motivation? That's the question. And what's it all about, Alfie? You know, if you do works because you really want to help somebody and you really want to bless them or you really want to walk with the love of God, that's great. If you do works so that everybody knows you're cool, what's the point? You know, that's not why we do things, is it? So, I remember Jesus Christ talking about the Pharisees, how they would do all these things in public, so everybody would think they were so godly. Long and flowery prayers in public and looking to help widows and so on and so forth. But in reality, they really didn't care about anything but themselves. And that's, again, not what it's about. It's if you're going to do good works, you do them because you love God. And you do it to help people so that they can hopefully come to God. Or it's another believer and you can help them get back to, you know, going to God. So it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You won't be atoned for. You won't be made right in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Or as the man once said, the way to get rid of all crime, make everything legal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, if you don't have a law, you don't know what's wrong. So by the knowledge of the law is sin. But, or by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now as the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is now manifested without the law. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith or believing of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. This is a great verse here. This is an amazing verse, because what's it saying to us? It says in verse 21, but now the righteousness or the justness of God without the law is manifested. What does manifested mean?
Evidenced,
made known, right? The righteousness of God is made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith or believing of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he believed God and he did all that God told him to do. And it's unto all and upon all them that believe. The righteousness of God, which was manifested by way of Jesus Christ believing, is to all and upon all them that believe, and they believe concerning what?
Jesus
Christ. The righteousness of God. For there is no difference. It's pretty great. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, every one of us has come short of the glory of God. But because we believe concerning Jesus Christ, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we have the righteousness of God, and the righteousness of God is revealed unto us. And we are the righteousness of God. We have the righteousness of God. We're just. Has nothing to do with good works. Has nothing to do with anything. I remember one time somebody telling me that somebody was really a spiritual person because they witnessed a lot. Now, witnessing is a great thing. I'm really for it. I like to witness. I love to speak God's words to people. But that doesn't make somebody spiritual. It just makes them enthusiastic. You know, enthusiasm's good. But if they witness and they're enthusiastic and then they witness that they know when Christ is coming back and they have it all figured out, that's not so spiritual, is it? Because the word says something just the opposite, or Mary's the mother of God or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's more to it than just speaking. Good works are more than just doing good works, and being righteous has to do with what God did for us. And he did it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we are justified by Jesus Christ. We're made the righteousness of God because we believe on him that believed to the ultimate. Then it says in 24, being justified, how?
Freely.
You don't need a credit card. You don't need a checking account. You don't need cash. You don't need a token. You don't need anything. You're justified freely. You know, examine all the religions, including most of the Christian religions, and pretty soon justification is not so free. Because what do you got to do? If you're a Muslim, you have to make the pilgrimage to Mecca, or you're screwed. You know, lots of religions, you have to do all kinds of stuff. But we have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what it's in. You know, that's what it's in. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that it might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is just and he is the justifier of us who believe in Jesus Christ. We're made just. We're just before. We don't have to atone for anything. How many of you probably grew up Catholics, and every time you went to confession, what did you have to do? You had to do penance. What is penance? It's paying a penalty or atoning for your wrongdoings. Don't have to do that. It says so right in the Word. We're justified by him that's just. We don't have to atone for it because it's already been atoned for us. It was free. Pretty amazing. I don't know how many of you have ever recently read the Blue Book, but on justification and righteousness, it was written, righteousness is the God-given justification whereby a person stands in the presence of God without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shortcomings. You know, do we stand like that every day?
No.
Yeah, but we should, shouldn't we?
Right. Yeah.
It's available to us. It's what God would want us to do, to stand before the presence of God without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shortcomings. It's kind of hard to live joyously. It's kind of hard to live victoriously. It's kind of hard to go to God and pray and believe if you think that you have to make up for sins. You know, how many times when you've gotten sick have you thought, what did I do wrong? Well, you didn't do anything wrong. You know, we're just, you know, we're stuck in a corrupted body. That's what we did wrong. We were born. If you're not born, you don't have to worry about it. Of course, you don't exist either. But, you know, if you get sick, it's not because you did something wrong. It's just because, you know, our bodies are not perfect because the world is corrupt. But God does his best to heal us, doesn't he? He makes his best to give us deliverance in every circumstance or situation. That's all, you know, and sometimes we get healed right away. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have to deal with stuff, you know, but so what? But it's not because you did anything wrong. And remember Jesus Christ in the book of Mark, they brought the guy in on the pallet and they let him down through the roof. And the Pharisees tried to accuse Jesus Christ. And he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Yeah. Well, one of the reasons the guy couldn't get healed is he had a sin problem. And when he said, your sins are forgiven, and then he said, well, take up your bed and walk, and the guy walked. So many times, it's not so much that we did anything wrong. The only thing we do wrong is we don't think correctly concerning what God has done for us. It would be a lot easier to get healed if you don't think you did something wrong. You know, if you're just concerned about how did I sin, or and you start examining your life, and you know, or something goes wrong in your life, doesn't have to be sickness, it could be something else. You think, I must have sinned. Well, not necessarily. Why? Might have made a bad decision, but that's not sin. That's just making a bad decision. But there's a devil in the world, and he wants to screw you up. So, you know, God wants to make it right. Who's better? Who's stronger? Who's wiser? God. Who did a more perfect work? We were talking this morning, I was talking to Michelle, and we were talking about, you know, right back in Genesis. Turn to Genesis. Hold your place in Romans. Turn to Genesis. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse something. verse 15. Jesus Christ, God speaking concerning Jesus Christ the very first time, and he's speaking really to the serpent, the adversary. And he's, if you ever wondered about this too, sometime if you have a companion Bible, Bullinger does a great study on the serpent and talks about, I don't know 100% if he's right, but he says it wasn't really a literal serpent. It was the angel of light, you know, that he was talking to. But anyway, God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then, of course, in Romans, it says that will crush the head of the serpent. And God says that he will make Jesus Christ's enemy his footstool. So who's going to win? Who already won? We did from Genesis 3:15 on. It's already been accomplished. It's already been done. Again, past tense. It's a done deal. He's already defeated. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Just trying to, righteousness is such a big deal. To be justified is such a big deal. You know, you take the class on power for about living, or take the class walking in God's power, and talk about sonship rights and abilities and privileges, and you throw out there righteousness and sanctification and justification and redemption and reconciliation. They're words. You know, they're words, and you may have the knowledge of the words, but to really get the in-depth understanding, and I'm trying to wrap my brain around righteousness, because it's a big deal, and it's not easy for us as human beings to really grasp. You know, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We see bits and pieces. We get excited about it, but then we lose it easy too, don't we? We get into condemnation or sin consciousness pretty easily at times. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to walk in that righteousness. He wants us to live righteously, which is a little bit different. You know, we are righteous, but we can live righteously. But if you don't believe you're righteous, it's kind of hard to live righteously. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Romans 8, verse 33, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Which means, who shall accuse the chosen of God? And then it says, it is God that justifieth. So who can accuse us if God has justified us? No one. No one has the right, no one has the ability, and any accusation that would be made against us is false. You know, if somebody accused you of doing something that you knew absolutely was untrue, how would you deal with it? Probably laugh, wouldn't you? If you pay your bill every month for electricity, and then the electric company called you and said, You haven't paid us in 6 months. You'd probably laugh, wouldn't you? And you'd say, well, I have proof I paid you. I have the canceled checks, or I have the bank statements. And that would be the end of that. Well, we have the proof, don't we? We have the canceled check. Jesus Christ paid the price. And that's it. So nobody can accuse us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, not only did Jesus Christ shed his blood and make the perfect sacrifice and enter the holiest of holy for us, but he's there at God's right hand continually making intercession for us. I don't know why he makes intercession. We're already righteous, but he just continues to remind God that we're his children, I guess. I don't know. Encourage God to do more for us. I don't know. Maybe he's there saying, okay, God, when can I go back? When can I go back? That would be kind of cool. Probably is. But he's there all the time. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Verse You know, it's not a matter of becoming righteous, is it? It's not a matter of being more righteous. It's not a matter of when you're going to be righteous. You are righteous, and how righteous are you? Right. You're as righteous as possibly you could possibly be, because you have the righteousness of God. Chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 3, "For we," that's us-ins, "are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." You know, that's kind of cool when you think about it, because I don't know if this is a figure of speech or not, but circumcision was all about the flesh. Yeah. You know? But it refers to Israel, the chosen of God. So it says, "We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Israel had all confidence in the flesh, and we have no confidence in the flesh. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." You know, he could say he was righteous concerning the law, blameless, because he did everything right down to the finest detail. So concerning the law, he was righteous. You know, sometimes it says certain people are righteous, like in Luke, it talks about Zacharias and Elizabeth being righteous, and they were without blame or blameless before God. Well, the reason it says that about them is because they believed God, and they carried out their duties and their responsibilities and the law to the best of their ability with the right heart. So God said, well, they were righteous and without blame. Does it mean that they were righteous like we're righteous? No, because Jesus Christ hadn't made that available yet. So they couldn't be, but they were righteous. But, you know, under the circumstances in the situation that they were in, they were righteous. They fulfilled what they had to fulfill. Okay? So, Paul was righteous in the law, blameless. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." So all that stuff was great, except wasn't worth anything compared to Christ. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or believing of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by believing." Isn't that cool? Hey, it's not what we do. It's not what we accomplish. It's not what we figure out. It's by believing in Jesus Christ. And God gives us the righteousness. He makes us righteous. And that's really what counts. It's not the righteousness of the law. It's not the righteousness of doing good works. It's the righteousness that God has given us because we believe in Jesus Christ. And that's great, because it takes all the pressure off. And we just have to cement it in our brain that we are righteous, that we have been justified. We don't have any debts, spiritually speaking. There is no sin problem. Jesus Christ eliminated the sin problem. The only thing there is a sinner problem and a sin-conscious problem. You know, we worry too much about sins. We worry too much about what we did wrong. What we need to do is just renew our minds to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse verse 21. Okay, verse 21. For he hath, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. It says other places that Jesus Christ was without sin, right? Tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. But God made him sin, or the sin offering, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're made the righteousness of God in him. We're not just righteous. We're the righteousness of God. How right is God? How just is God? You know, sometimes people read the Old Testament and they go, you know, how could this happen? Or how could God let that happen? Or how could, you know, well, I don't know. What I do know is it says that God is just and merciful. So whatever went on, God's just and merciful. Argue with God. Why did these people die? Or why did these people do this? Or why did this happen? Or why did God let that happen? I don't know. Ask God. But God's just and God's merciful. So whatever judgments that God brought down, it was just. It was right. You know, you think about the millions upon millions upon millions of people that existed at the time of Noah, and you would think, gee, wasn't anybody just a little bit decent? And you know what the answer is? No! They all stunk. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. The first guy, it mentions grace. Now, there may be have grace been before that, but that's the first time it's mentioned in the Word of God. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, that's what we're redeemed with, not corruptible things. If you're doing work, if you're doing works, that's atoning with corruptible things, isn't it? If you're saying 25 Hail Marys and 16 Our Fathers, that's corruptible things. That's, you know, works. Has nothing to do with works. Has nothing to do with corruptible things. Has nothing to do with things or stuff. Has to do with Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Pretty great. Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with the hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but of his own blood, he entered in once into the holiest place, the Holy of Holies, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. Redemption is the buying back, right? Or paying the ransom. And we have eternal redemption. You know, it's not a temporary thing. It's not a partial payment. It's he paid the full price, and it's eternal. Eternal is what? Eternal. So it's, you know, it's done. Can't go bad. It can't be taken back. It's eternal. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, and so in response, it's not a matter of doing good works, it's to serve the living God. Right. You know, that's our responsibility, that's our proper response to what God has done for us, is to serve the living God, to believe Him, to walk with Him. Let's go to Romans again, chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1, we're going to begin. Eternal redemption. You know, if you take something to the pawn shop and hawk it, you get a redemption ticket. You know, and then you can go and redeem the item. And once you redeem it, it's yours again. Right? Chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. When is now?
Now.
It's always now. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now. And it's always now. Who walk not after the flesh, after the Spirit is not in the text. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, if you could have fulfilled all the law perfectly, and become perfect before God and righteous, that's really what happened when you got born again. As far as God's concerned, you fulfilled all the law. You did it perfectly, and you're righteous in His sight. You're righteous as though you did it all. But we didn't do anything. Jesus Christ did it for us. Pretty simple. And let's go to chapter 5. It says in 1 John that we are righteous even as He is righteous. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified, we're justified by believing. You know, we're justified by believing because we believed in Him that believed God, and therefore we were made righteous. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God because we're righteous. If we were unrighteous, we could not have anything with God. We couldn't have any relationship with God if we weren't righteous. You know, we'd have to have intermediaries. In the Old Testament, they didn't really have, for the most part, a relationship with God. They had a relationship by way of the priest with God. You know, they couldn't approach God directly, you know, except for certain people got Spirit put upon them. But most people, you know, and they could pray and they could do stuff and God would hear their prayers. But it wasn't a direct relationship like we have. It wasn't that one-on-one peace with God. They always had something between them and God, which was sin. We don't have sin between us and God. It was eliminated, done away with, past tense. By whom also we have access by faith or believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because we know without a doubt that when He comes back, we're going with Him. You know, if we weren't sure about it, it'd be hard to rejoice in it, wouldn't it? If you had some doubt in your mind about whether you were born again and whether He was going to take you, think about all the people that are scared to death of the wrath. Right. You know, Christians. Yeah, they think they're going to be caught in the wrath because they don't know the truth. Or they're not sure they're born again. They may be sure that all Christians will be gathered, but they're not sure if they're really born again. We're sure we're born again and we're sure we're going. Pretty great. Not only so, but we glory in the tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So we're justified. We're justified and we're saved from the wrath. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received, and it says the atonement, but it really means the reconciliation. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, that all have sinned. For until the law was sin in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, which is Jesus Christ, the second Adam. But now, as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And the word justification is the same word as righteousness. So it's free. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You know, and that was God's desire from the beginning, wasn't it? That man would reign, have dominion. And we reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Because we're righteous. All the sin has been taken care of. All the shortcomings are gone. You know, we don't have anything to do but enjoy. We just have to get that into our brains that we are righteous before God. And when you understand that you're righteous before God, you know that God will take care of you and bless you and love you and be there for you in every situation, every circumstance, which he reminds us every time we hear manifestations. You know, he reminds us continuously, doesn't he? That he'll take care of. All we have to do is do what he tells us to do. You know, just look to him and learn, and to the best of our ability, do his will in our lives, and he's going to bless us and take care of us. He's willing to. We just got to keep our minds focused on where it's supposed to be focused, not get tricked out of it, not think I'm not good enough or I'm not right or I did something wrong or. Jesus Christ took care of all that. We're all righteous. We're all justified. We're all perfect in God's sight. We're with holy and without blame in his sight. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us, for being such a righteous God and making us righteous. We thank you for that and for your love and grace abounding, and that we can just better and better understand you and understand the righteousness which you've given us, that we can walk with more boldness and more confidence, looking to you and believing you in everything we do. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.